welcome back to another exciting Illus Ask Your Features interview. This interview has been 3 years in the making. He's been too busy to come on my show. I don't know why, but he'll have to tell us. Owen Hayner is here with his Hayner Family Christmas Special, which was released in December, and yes, it is a little bit later in December, people. So
Simon,
that's up to him to why he hasn't been here. Welcome to the show, Owen.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start at the very beginning. We have Special 3. Did you not want to bring me Special 1 and 2?
I mean, the thing with the specials is they're numbered, but they're not the same story, so it doesn't matter. And I think the third one is the strongest of the three, and so it's the one I wanted to talk about.
So let's back that up. Why is this the strongest? Like, why do you feel this is better than 1 and 2?
I mean, frankly, it's because I've had more experience making it than I did the first two. I spent a year and a half at film school before making the third one. I spent zero time at film school before making 1 and 2. And so I've had more practice, more criticism, and I had a better understanding of what I wanted when making it.
Okay. Now, throughout three Christmas specials, you only ever showed your family.
Mm-hmm.
Does nobody else like you to join these specials?
No. We did almost have other people in them, but then we kind of was like, hey, it's funnier if it's just us, especially when there's other characters in it that reasonably shouldn't be us, but because it's the Hayner Family Christmas Special, I think it fit the theme of, all right, let's keep it just us. And if you watch the first one, we have someone else doing the voiceover for us. It isn't any of the four members of our family. And so, like, we kind of cheated in that regard a little bit with that kind of rule, in quotation marks. But that, as we went on, it became a little more solid of, okay, this is what we want to do.
Okay, so let's get into the actual special. Make your life easier for you. That won't ask you more bizarre questions, but you're going to get many, so suck it up. The opening scene. You show an opening scene. Whose bedroom is that?
That's my parents.
Okay. So you didn't make them tidy it up or anything? You just sort of shot?
I kind of didn't want that.
What did you want that?
I wanted it to be a little... It's not messy. I didn't want it to be messy. But it's not spotless. It's not a film set. I didn't want it to be a film set. It's not... These aren't meant to be high class, high quality, pristine films with every frame is spotless. It's, you know, our family Christmas special. First of all, who makes a family Christmas special? We do. But, like, it's the kind of vibe of, all right, we're filming in our actual home. We're filming at locations that we know and don't really have to pay for. So it fit the vibe.
Yeah. Now, early on, we have a Christmas tree in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your real Christmas tree, or is that a made-up Christmas tree?
It's our real Christmas tree.
Now, did you change the decorations on or anything, or was everything exactly the way you wanted it?
I think the tree was kind of like in a halfway point where we started to decorate it, filmed, and then finished after filming. I think that's what happened, but I could be wrong.
I guess my big question is here. When, I mean, you're obviously doing a family Christmas special. You're obviously at school and you got to come home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tell your family? Do they get a script ahead of time, or how does that process work?
Yeah. They get a script. They got this script, I want to say like a month or two before we did any filming. Just because that's, like you said, I was at school. We didn't really have time until around November, I want to say, to film. I may have done some filming in October. But the filming for this one, more so than anything else, was really spread out over a good chunk of time. It was like, you know, oh, we have a odd Saturday here, an odd Sunday here. This Thursday night, everyone's free. does that kind of thing. And I do think that hurts some scenes, and we'll get into that when we get to those scenes. I have my own opinions on that, but I think, you know, it's what we had to do. It's what we were available with, and I think it worked out pretty well.
So let's get back to that. So you sent the script to your brother. You sent the script to they all get scripts same day.
Yeah.
Is it just an email or is it a paper script?
I just take a PDF and send it over text.
Over text.
And then they can print it out or view it in something larger. Cause you know, we all use Apple products, so it's easy to cross between computers, email, stuff like that.
Now, as a director, do you think it would not be easier to have an actual script copy? There's some people that don't like reading screens.
We had an actual script, but for the first read, I just sent it to them digitally. But then after that, I know when we were actually filming, we had a paper copy.
Now, when you're sending this to your family, obviously they all receive it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Who reads it first?
I think this year it was my parents, then my brother.
Okay. So do they send you notes saying, nope, I'm not saying that. Nope, I want to change that.
Yes. Yeah.
But you're the director here. You've written this. You're looking for a certain perspective. Does that upset you?
No, I asked them for it.
Okay.
I'd be like, hey, would you want to say, especially for my brother, who I like to give some of the more ridiculous lines to, I'm like, hey, one, do you want this on the internet? Two, would you be comfortable saying this to our father? And most of the time he's game no matter what, which is fun. But there was one line, I forget what the line is, so don't even try and ask for it, but there was one line where he was like, hey, maybe we shouldn't say that. I'm like, okay, fine.
Now, when you're doing this to your family and writing, and the writing process here,
yeah,
I find you focus more on your dad and your brother as the relief. Comedy relief is 100% there. Your mom's more like a one-liner and out. Is that always your plan?
So it started from a place where my brother is the funniest one of us in real life. And so he's kind of the easiest to write for in that sense. And then my mom has kind of always been the one to sort of tell us, like, hey, you know, I can be this character for you. It started off with her kind of putting herself in that role. The way it started was in the first Christmas special, my dad wrote a lot of it with me. And my brother also came in and sat in and helped with his stuff. My mom was just like, hey, you know, I trust you. Do my stuff. Here's my personality. Here's what I want. Here's that kind of stuff. And it kind of just evolved from there, where it was easier to believe my dad and brother being more insane, kind of stuff. And my mom being more of like the straight man in a scene, which is needed in the scene to make a lot of stuff work. But she kind of fell into that groove, just naturally.
So as you're writing these scripts, do you place them in those in your head ahead of time, or that just seems the way it falls all the time now?
It depends on the scene. Like in the scenes in this Christmas special where my mom, this Christmas special is like, it's just a Christmas carol. So when my scenes where my mom is playing one of the ghosts, it was much more, I wanted her to have those quick one-liners because that was the style of her section. It was much more quick and not really bombastic, crazy energy, but kind of like, you know, a quick jab and then move on. And so it fit into the pattern of the role she's been doing in the specials, but also fit the vibe of that particular part of the story, I think. So it was in that point planned. But then in other scenes, like the final scene when the whole family is together, it was more just what areas are people most comfortable in terms of, because we're not professional performers. So what's the most easy way to get this to run smoothly? And I think even in that scene, because Dylan wasn't, when we filmed that scene, Dylan wasn't feeling well. And so it was kind of, we had to sort of switch things up a little bit, and my mom had to do a little more in that scene, I think, than originally written in the script. In terms of like energy wise, but you know, it still fit, I think, that mold, and just whatever worked for the scene, whatever I knew they were comfortable with, was a case by case basis.
Yeah. I want to go back a little bit on the costuming.
Mm-hmm.
Of the short. Now, I know you provide the family thing. I know you're not buying costumes. So where do the costumes come from? Do you go through your parents' wardrobe, or do you ask them, do you have this, do you have that?
Well, for this one in particular, you know, for the ones in the past, it always ended up all the clothes would be ours, except we would buy a Santa costume. Because we always kept losing it, because it was just a cheap Santa costume off like Amazon that we kept losing throughout the course of a year. But for this one, because we knew what the concept would be in advance, it was very much, okay, what – we went to a Halloween costume shop in October, specifically my mom's ghost segment, which was based off like a noir kind of story. And so it was like, all right, we went to like the gangster section of the Halloween costume shop to see what they had, and they had this like – They basically had what you saw on screen. And then I went with my brother to a art store, picked up some like holly, and then I sewed it onto the hat to add it, make it a little more of a festive look than normal.
Music. This is you do definitely use music here and there. Not a lot. It's very subtle, mm-hmm. but you do bring it in. I mean, when it comes in, you can hear it.
Yeah.
Who did your music?
A friend of mine did that. And he's a friend that I've had since I was like 9. He's in a band with my brother, with Dylan. And I was like, hey, I want to do this. Do you think you could help out? And so we went over to his house, and we were just kind of playing around, and we came up with a theme. And then I was like, all right, can we just make variations on this theme for everything? And that's what we did.
So did you give him the script ahead of time, or did you tell him what you wanted?
I gave him the script. I don't know if he read it, but when we went to do the actual music, I brought some of the scenes we already had filmed with me to show him, so he could like see. And then as he was doing the music, I was like playing the scene along to see does the edit work? Does it fit here? Do we have to change it? And that's how a lot of it goes. And then as I was editing and putting the music in, I would like text him like, hey, this bit doesn't work here. Can we maybe get like this instrument removed? And he'd be like, yeah, no problem, and send it right over.
So you being the director and also acting in the short with your family, mm-hmm. How difficult is that?
Very. I do like to perform, but I like to perform on stage. That is where I prefer it. And I've never really liked film acting. And, you know, I think it changes depending on the scene. So like the scenes with my brother were always a lot harder because he has this big energy that he always brings, and I'm always the one breaking and laughing and causing the issue. And so it's not my favorite thing in the world. It, I think, is fine for the specials. Again, they're not this high cinematic art, and so I don't have to really worry that much. But yeah, it's definitely an experience, especially different to any that would be on like a film not with my family. I have been in some of my friends' stuff, and that one was much simpler, I think, because I wasn't acting across from my dad, my mom, my brother. I was acting across from, you know, most of the time a friend, sometimes a outside actor, and it made it easier to sort of be like, okay, I'm here as an actor, not as, you know, the person who has dinner with these people every night, kind of thing.
So how long does it take you to write the script, edit the script, shoot the script, and have it ready to go for Christmas Day?
This one took the most amount of time. The first draft of the script was written over a year before filming, not because I wanted that much time to work on it, but because I wanted to work on it then, but then with school and all that stuff, we just didn't have time to film it. And so I was like, all right, I'll just shelve this for next year. And then next year rolls around, I'm like, all right, let's look at the script, make edits. And I made a lot of edits. The first draft of the script took about, I want to say about a day. I like to sort of sit down and just write uninterrupted. And I very much just wrote the script in a full day. And then when I went back and did drafts, those I did over time. So I think the second draft, or maybe it was the third, I might have done a draft back before. But the first main draft after that year of waiting was, I did it, you know, in like an hour or two. And then I waited a few days and then did another one in a few more hours. And it kind of built onto that until I sent it off to people and they gave me notes and then I got it back. And this time I sent the script to a lot of people actually this time around. I sent it to some of my film school friends. I sent it to my girlfriend. The last people I sent it to was my family. They saw a much more developed version of it than a lot of other people did. But then once we got, you know, filming, I think it took 2 months. And then the editing took probably like, I edited as we went. So we would film a scene. I would then edit the scene. We'd film a scene and edit the scene. And so that also kind of took 2 months, but just because I was working on them in tandem.
Yeah, you have black and white at times and you switch to color. Why was that blind done?
That was because each segment of the film was meant to be a different style, different homage, or different kind of cinematic technique. And so the black and white in this one was meant to be, you know, the old gritty crime noirs. And those were mostly known for black and white, and they have this really harsh light with really like harsh shadows, and that really appears the best on black and white, in my opinion. It's very theatrical in a way, very old Hollywood looking, which is what I wanted to. The aspect ratio also goes into 4:3. I believe it's 4:3, into a more boxy aspect ratio, because that's what they used in times like, you know, films like The Maltese Falcon and Sweet Smell of Success were big inspirations on the look and feel for that section.
Okay, sound effects. You seem to be using those again. I didn't see those last time.
Yeah. Sound effects.
Did you enjoy playing with those?
I did. Because they're a mixture of from a sound library and recorded myself. A lot of the more like quicker stuff, like there's in a scene, a ceiling caves in, and that I did not record myself. Obviously, it looks fake in the film on kind of, I don't want to say on purpose, but it was kind of encouraged in a way. A lot of the effects were that. And so the sound effects kind of had that same kind of sort of similar approach to it, where it's clearly this cartoony sort of view on them. And then for things like in one scene, I have like cue cards for my dad to read, and the sounds of them dropping and being handled were all filmed where I'm sitting basically right now after the fact, because the sound at that location was terrible and I had to just re-record it, and I couldn't find any, like, you know, good cardstock sounds on the internet, especially that don't fit the timing of the grab, drop, move. So those were filmed here, and some other, like, a lot of the stuff for the middle segment, which was modeled after a sort of like children's TV kind of puppet sort of look, were all stock sound effects because it was hyper unrealistic. And so I wanted to be kind of very much spotty with the effects. Like, that is clearly a bit, that is clearly a joke. It's not happening in the real world.
Okay. Well, actually, perfect. My next question was, who made the stick characters? So let's go there.
That was me.
So you did all the artists and the faces and all that?
Yep. Yeah. I think pretty much everything you see on screen was made, that if it's not like bought from a store, was made by me.
So how much time did it take you to do that? I mean, you have to be an artist on top of being a director then.
The stick people didn't take that long, actually. Because I made, what I did is, well, they're really, really simple looking. So I made a little template of them, copied that five times, because there's five puppets. Drew little simple faces on them, drew little details, colored them in with like colored pencil, cut them out, glued them onto a thicker piece of paper to give them more support, glued them onto some like skewers, like made for like kebabs. And then just like, all right, good enough.
So where did that idea come from?
That idea came from the idea that I thought it would be funny if it was like a kids' TV show that involved a lot of swearing. And that kind of stems from a lot of like older YouTube stuff, honestly. There was a series on YouTube that I wasn't the right demographic for when it came out, so I never really watched it. It's called like the Potter Puppet Pals. It's
exactly what I was thinking. I wanted to know if you knew that.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Demographic for that.
Yeah. I was not. I was too young for the kind of humor that they were using when it came out, but they had a look that looked like it would appeal to my age demographic. And that's the kind of thing I really wanted to, I took inspiration from. And then also, you know, just sort of like an over dramatic, like everything is, you know, super happy and fun. And then also throw in like 10 swear words in the line. And yep, that's where I wanted to go from.
Did steal it from Harry Puppet Theater. I thought you might have.
Yeah.
Who likes Christmas the most in your family?
That's a good question. It might be me. It might be my brother.
It's fair.
I think it's probably one of us. My mom is much more of a Halloween person, and my dad really isn't a holiday kind of guy.
Your dad really enjoys his sales. Let's leave it at that. Yeah, your brother wears a certain kind of shirt. Rebel Supply Company jersey. What is this?
It's just a clothing brand. And for his character, I wanted it to be very sort of like, yeah, I wanted him to have those brand logos there because he was like the ghost of Christmas present. He was modern. He was, how would he dress in real life? So that one was especially like, okay, go to your actual wardrobe and use your actual clothes. You know, it's common practice in film to sort of try and hide any logos, have them not be seen. You don't, cause one, they don't give anyone free advertising, and two, it's distracting. For his character, I wanted that. I wanted that, you know, to be like a very much, you would see this guy on the street. And that's kind of what I was going for there.
Hey, it's the first one of your three you CGI. How was that for a change?
It was very minimal. I didn't try and go beyond the confines of what I knew I could do. It's why, you know, there's the bits of, you know, the green screen explosion effect. I purposefully removed any color correction from that. I kept a little bit of the green in there so it would look fake. It would look like it's a joke. Because that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be, one, it's a reference to the first Christmas special, where we had that same effect. And two, it's meant to be campy. It's meant to be kind of in your face. Like, it's not meant to engross you in the story. It's meant to be like, this is a Christmas special that you're watching. You know, come along for the ride and enjoy it for what it is, not for what it could be.
Yeah, the parking lot scene. Where mm-hmm. is it, and how cold was it that day?
It's my mom's work. We filmed there before, and it was pretty cold. For the people who weren't in the shot, were kind of chilling out in the car while we were filming. And I feel bad for my dad because he was kind of in most of it, and so couldn't go chill in the car, so he just kind of froze. But he had a jacket that he wore in between takes. So I didn't treat them that inhumanely, but it wasn't the best environment. But it also wasn't the worst filming experience I've ever had. I've been on other sets where it's been way worse. They had to provide hand warmers for the cast and crew, and that didn't even work on one film set that I was on. So this one, it was kind of, I would consider it more of an annoyance. It wasn't unmanageable, but it wasn't pleasant.
Who wrote the cards for the non-talking ghosts? Is that your handwriting on them?
That is my handwriting, yeah. Yeah, it's not the best, and it's also very small text, which I'm not, but you know, I would like to go back and redo it, but you know, but it is what it is.
Who has to work on their lines the most in your family?
Well, so in a lot of the scenes where my dad has longer lines, they're written on cue cards just off screen because he couldn't remember them. So I would say him. I think we had to do that once for my mom. Maybe. Dylan doesn't really follow the script as much. He kind of makes stuff up along the way, which I welcome. I like that. Because I think he's funny and it works. And so, you know, I think we all have our own issues with the lines, but I would say the one who I think struggles the most would probably be my dad.
How much does your brother really like Pokemon?
Doesn't.
He's got a Gengar shirt in the short.
Yeah, I think it just looks cool.
Okay. Why did your mom get her producer credit?
Because she's the one who pays for the most. She kind of is the one who approves what we can, like, you know, buy and do there. Because if she didn't, the films would either be way worse or way better, and there's no telling which one it would be. So I'm thankful that she doesn't, because it would probably be way worse.
People at the end of the film, who are these people?
Family, friends, you.
I'm not there, thank you.
Yeah, it's just like, it's people who, you know, we like. It's not the entire list, because if it was the entire list, I don't know how much longer it would be, but it would be longer. And I also don't want, I always, whenever I like forgets to put someone in, I always like send a text saying, hey, sorry. But it, it's meant to just be a little like, you know, here's like an immediate list of people of like that come to mind instantly that have either, you know, are either really good friends to us, good people. It's a list mostly comprised of people I know, because I ask for a list from other people, from the other members of my family, and they're like, eh, I don't know. And I'm like, all right, that doesn't help. So it's mostly people I know, but there's a little bit of mix.
So at the end of the credits, we have Nancy Nichols and a picture. She's the only one that gets full recognition, I would say. Who is Nancy Nichols?
That is my mom's mom, who passed away before I was born. But she, you know, you asked the question earlier, who in my family likes Christmas the most? She was the answer. She loved holidays, loved Christmas, and loved the story of A Christmas Carol. And so when we're doing the Christmas Carol, my brother and I were like, what if we did this? And we're like, that, you know, for my mom, a big emotional thing. And so we were like, all right, let's ask our dad if that would be like too much. And he's like, nah, I think it's great. And so that was like part of our Christmas gift to our mom, kind of dedicating the story that her mom loved to her mom, who we never got to meet, but, you know, is still our grandma, so.
Okay, when this is all done, you've packaged it out, it's on the internet. Who are the first people to watch it? I mean, family, friends, do your friends rush to see this every year, or you just don't say anything?
I think it's changed every year. So this year, I did do some advanced screenings for some people. Like, I think the first person to ever watch it in its entirety was either my mom's best friend or my girlfriend. And I forget which one it is. Because, you know, like, I send everything I do to my girlfriend, like, as I'm doing it. Because I trust her to give good feedback. And so she kind of saw it, for the most part, before it was made. So I feel like she kind of saw it first, in quotes, but I think the first person to see it might have been my mom's friend. And then once it's released, it's kind of like, I don't then send it to anyone in particular. I kind of just be like, post the link, put out a little like Instagram story, like, hey, go watch it. And then if someone watches it, they do. If they don't, they don't.
Okay. That's it for your film. We're going to move on to the fun question.
Okay.
Aspect, which I'm sure you've had a long time to prep for, because I've known your dad a long time, so you should have been fully prepared for this. Your favorite film?
Hot Fuzz.
Your favorite actor?
Andrew Scott.
Very good choice. I'll give you that one. Your favorite food?
I like pancakes.
And the last thing is really easy for you to do. Tell everybody where they can find your wonderful projects.
You can find them all on YouTube. Just Owen Hainer, H-A-H-N-E-R. And they're all right there. They're mostly Christmas specials, but the Christmas specials are good. And sometimes I post other things too.
Thank you for your time and have a great day.
Well, thank you so much.